This Sunday we celebrate the great solemnity of the Ascension, which typically is celebrated 40 days after Easter, so it would have been last Thursday, and many parts of the world they still celebrate Ascension on Thursday, but there's an option to transfer it to Sunday, which our diocese is one of those that does that. And so we celebrate this great feast of Ascension today, the raising of Christ back up to the Father. When I think about the Ascension and Christ leaving the apostles, it kind of reminds me of, as a kid, when mom and dad would go away on vacation or just be gone for the afternoon or the evening. And when they would leave, they would give us the dreaded list, of all the things they wanted us to do while they were gone. And you unroll this long scroll that goes onto the floor. And, it's all the typical stuff that mom and dad want you to do, clean your room, do the dishes, mop the floor, mow the yard, reshingle the house, build a garage. And, you get this list, and right away, the first thing you do is you roll it back up and put it down on the counter and go take a nap or go fishing or whatever, right? Until about 9 o'clock at night when you hear the car pull up in the garage, and then it dawns on you, oh, no, the list. I haven't even done anything. And so then you scramble, right? You're scrambling around trying to pick up the toys in the living room and so on. Usually it's too late by that point. Usually you've shot yourself in the foot and you're grounded. But so here you are, with this list that you know that you're supposed to accomplish, this the instruction, so to speak. Well, St. John Paul II, he said that in the Ascension, God gave us this list. Jesus gave us this list even before, in this preparation. His whole preaching and ministry was a preparation for the Ascension. And then even here at the very end, we have these instructions that he left us with. And we've heard them 1,000 times. We're all familiar with them. But how often do people get to the end of their life and then they have that moment when they get the news, I've only got a few weeks or months to live, and all of a sudden they start scrambling around like mom and dad just pulled in the driveway? How often, how sad is that, that instead of living their life all the way along as if their faith mattered, it only becomes valuable to them at the end? And they, as I've heard say, they cram for finals, That's not the way we're called to live our lives as Christians. We're called to prepare for the return of Jesus every day, or for our own return to him. And the Ascension gives us this opportunity to kind of step back and kind of reevaluate that list and how we're doing, the instructions that our Lord left with us. And what were these instructions? When they gathered together, they asked him, this is from our first reading, the Acts of the Apostles, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. The Father is established by his own authority. You will receive the power of the Holy Spirit when he comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. These instructions to the apostles were to be witnesses, to carry out that word to the ends of the earth. And as a matter of fact, that's what the word apostle means, one who is sent. And perhaps you and I are not apostles in the same way, but by virtue of our baptism, we have been commissioned with the same mission. We've been given the same instructions to carry out this message to the ends of the earth. Just like we hear in our Alleluia verse from the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Our Gospel today was from Luke, but the end of the Gospel of Matthew says the same thing. Go and teach all nations. I am with you always until the end of the world. And Matthew reminds us, not only do we receive this commission, this tall order to go and preach the Gospel to all nations, but Matthew reminds us that even with the Ascension, Christ is with us till the ends of the world. It's not like he leaves us orphaned. It's not like he wishes us good luck, have fun. I'll see you in a couple thousand years. He's with us till the end of the age. How? In several primary ways. Number one, through Scripture. The Word became flesh. Jesus Christ is that Word. And it's the one and the same word that speaks to us through the scripture, that reverberates and re-echoes for 2,000 years now. We encounter Christ in the scripture. He is with us, speaks to us through the scripture. How else? How is Christ with us until the end of the world? Through you and I. We are the body of Christ. We are members of the one body, and his body, even though the head ascended to heaven, the body remains here on earth as one. It's kind of like, you know, kind of like an elevator. When you ascend in an elevator, perhaps your head is on that level, but the body remains, but it's coming. It's bringing with it, but it's one body. We are that one body of Christ. So if you encounter another person who has been baptized, you have encountered Jesus Christ. And if they have encountered you, they've encountered Christ. But do we live in such a way that reflects that? Do we live in such a way that proclaims the good news that Jesus Christ came and lived and died and ascended at the right hand and that he's coming back? And this is a reason for joy. Can somebody tell that when they meet you? If not, we're missing the mark a little bit. And again, it's not like, you know, you need to go buy a megaphone and a soapbox and stand on the street corner. But the new evangelization is the call that we've heard again and again from the Holy Fathers, especially, particularly starting with Pope John Paul II and then Pope Benedict and now Pope Francis. We hear it again and again, this new evangelization. You know, and if it's new, that would seem to suggest there was an old evangelization. And by that, most of what we think of evangelization and missionary work is, you know, going to India and Africa and all those places that have never heard the gospel. But this new evangelization is something different. It's much more close, much more intimate. The new evangelization is kind of a re-evangelization. And it takes place at your dinner table. And it takes place in this church. And it takes place everywhere you go, if you have been baptized and sent out and recommissioned to share and proclaim this good news. Folks, the fastest growing religious affiliation in the United States and in fact throughout the world, the fastest growing religious affiliation, especially in the United States, is those who claim no religious affiliation. Atheists, secularists, agnostics, people who simply either don't know or have outright rejected the faith. They're everywhere. And it's not like they're people you've never met. They're people you know and work with. But why have they come to this place of rejecting the faith? And there are obviously 1,000 different reasons. But it's perhaps they've encountered a number of Christians, of Catholics, who say they believe one thing, and then they live a completely opposite way of life. They do one thing on Sunday morning, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the rest of the week, they live something completely different. If we are called to this new evangelization, it has to come from inside, from a consistency of way of life, that we actually say what we claim, that we live what we claim to believe. That Jesus Christ loves us, he died for us, and that faith matters. That's the instruction manual that Christ left us. And we shouldn't wait until the very end, till our parents pull in the driveway to start working on that. It has to become a pattern, a way that we live and breathe the faith that we profess. And it starts with prayer at home. Of teaching your children to pray. There's so many couples that I work with, so many young adults I see, 25 years old. I ask them, you know, what's your prayer life look like? So many of them respond, well, you know, I pray before meals, or, you know, if Uncle Bob has got cancer, I'll say a prayer for him. That's the extent of their prayer life. Well, how can they know if there's no one to show them? How can we show them if we're not, how can we model a prayer life if we ourselves are not living it? If we see this instruction manual that Christ left us throughout his 3 years of ministry, and then finally at the end, these are the things that you need to do. Proclaim the gospel. Go out to all the world. For us, it's go out to your living room. Go out to your office. And live your life consistently with the faith that you profess. May we each be able to do that. And then one day join our ascended and risen Lord in the glory of heaven.